Okay, today's daf is Shkalim daf Yud. We're at the very bottom of daf Terem and Bet at the new Mishnah, beginning of the fourth parrot. A truma ma'ayu osimba. Okay, what do they do with this truma? What do they do with the Shkalim that they're taking? Kolchin ba t'midinu musafim uniskehem ha'omer u'shtei alechem v'lechem apanim chukomor atzibur. Right, so all public offerings starting from, we said, the Korban Tami, the Korban Musaf, their libations, the Korban Omer, the Korban Shter Alechem, the Lechem Apanim, public offerings. Shomrei Sfichim B'Shvi'it Notlin Sicharan Mitruma Talishka Rabbi Yossi Omer Afarotze Mitnadev Shomer Chinam. So they had these things called Shomer Sfichim, and what that was is that the Omer and the Shter Alechem were, you know, korbanot, and they had to be brought from the grains of that year, which made it a little bit difficult in Shemitah year, because in Shemitah year, in general, okay, you just bring things from the past year. The Omer and Shtei Alechem had to be brought from grains from the new year, or you can't plant anything. Unfortunately, there's always this aftergrowth that kind of just comes up, whether you plant or not, the next year, maybe from fallen seeds during the previous harvest. But it was very minimal, and the concern was that, you know, the animals would get to it first, and there wouldn't be anything left. So the Shomer Svichim would go and protect the aftergrowth in the field. That way, there's enough for the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, and they get paid from the Truma Talishka. And Rabbi Yossi says, if they want, they can volunteer. They don't have to be paid from the Truma Talishka. If they feel like doing it out of the goodness of their heart, they are welcome to. Amar lo, avata omer she'ein abayin ela mishal tzibor. They responded to him that, you have to admit that they need to be, that the Omer and the Shtei Halechem can only come as a public offering and cannot come as an individual offering. And that's the concern. That's why they pay them. Because if they're paid watchers, then everything they're doing is on behalf of the Mikdash. In which case, they'll never take private ownership over what they're guarding. However, if they are not paid, then if they want to, if they decide they're less generous that day, they can take private ownership over what they're guarding. And then it's now individually owned and can't be brought as the Korban Omer. So that's why they pay them. Ma ra'az man atze kohanim va ha'am lehimanot. Okay, so we are we're referencing right now a Mishnah. We're up to the Gemara. We're referencing right now a Mishnah in Ta'anit, which lists different dates, nine different dates that different Kohen families would have like a special festival where they would bring the wood for the mizbeach that day for that same aracha. Ela b'shasha alu Yisrael minagola, and we're asking, you know, why exactly do we need to list these special dates, the special families? The wood is something that anyone in Israel could bring at any time that he wants. Ela b'shasha alu Yisrael minagola v'lamatzu eitzim b'lishka v'amdu elu v'itnadvu eitzim shel atzman umasru matzibur v'karvu mehem komer atzibur v'itnu mehem nevim shebneihem. When we were coming back from the Galut, coming to Beit Sheni, we were missing the wood, and these Kohanim went out of their way and made sure that the Beit HaMikdash had wood. And so the Nevi'im made a deal with them based on their generosity that if there was a time that they felt compelled to bring wood, we would say that they are the only ones who are allowed, and if they brought the wood, we would be sure to use exactly what they were bringing for the sake of the korban in reward for what they did on our way back, when we were coming back, returning to Israel. And the purpose of bringing in this idea is that we can see that even though the wood was privately owned and privately donated, it was allowed to be used in the public service. Amar Rabbi Acha, the Rabbi Yosa, Omer Afarotze Mitnadev Shomer Chinam. This is Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Rabbi Yossi believes, you know, as we said in the Mishnah, that someone is allowed to volunteer, right? And if someone's allowed to volunteer, then we're not concerned about the individual possession that he may take over it, because that could be transferred from the individual domain to the public domain, and that's the same shita we see expressed by the wood. Rabbi Yose b'shem Rabbi Yilah divrei hakol hi ma pligin beguva shel korban avam akshire korban kol am mudai shu mishtame korban yachid korban tzibur. Says no, really everyone. This could be everyone's shita about the wood. Right? The wood could be everyone's shita, not just the one who believes that you can transfer the private domain to the public domain, because where that machloket exists is by the korban itself. You cannot transfer a korban from a privately owned korban into a publicly owned korban. However, when it comes to service utensils, when it comes to facilitatory factors of the avoda, that everyone would agree that you can transfer from the private ownership to the public domain. Tani isha sha'asta ketonet lifno kshera milvad shemserena letzibor. Right. So here's another proof: if a woman, the mother of the kohen gadol, is allowed to make a special coat for her son, the kohen gadol. And that's perfectly fine. He's allowed to do the avodah in it, even though the avodah is a public service and this is privately owned. As long as she transfers it to the public, and then it becomes designated for Kohen Gadol. Amar Rabbi Acha Divrei Rabbi Yosehi. Clearly, this has to be Rabbi Yosei Shita. The Rabbi Yosei Omer Acha Rotze Mitnadev Shomer Chino. This corresponds with his Shita about volunteering to watch the Svichin. Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rabbi Yilah divrei hakol hi ma'pligin beguf shel korban v'machshir korban kol am amodai shu mishtan korban yachid korban tzibur. Same answer. Everyone really needs to agree here that this is fine because this is not a korban itself. It's just a part of the avoda. Everyone would agree that it's fine to transfer from the individual to the public. Matnitin pligi al Rabbi Yosef. But maybe we can argue with Rabbi Yosef's assessment that everyone agrees here. Otani yavim nogim b'shat korban v'shlo b'shat korban. Rabbi Yosi Omar, Einan Noagin Ela B'Shat Korban Bilvad. The Breita indicates that these holidays for the bringing of the wood are specifically when we're bringing Korbanot to the Beit HaMikdash. But now when we're not bringing Korbanot to the Beit HaMikdash, what does that seem to imply in the Breita? We see the bringing of the wood as a type of offering, and not as a facilitatory aspect of the avoda. Rabbi Yossi says that it's not an offering, however, and so you can bring it whenever. You just designate somebody to the Beit HaMikdash. But if the Breita, as the Breita says, we see this as basically as an offering, and so if we see it as a korban, then it would certainly be a machloket that not everyone would agree that you could bring such a thing. From an individual to the public. V'od min hara d'tanya. Furthermore, from that which we taught in a Breita, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Bei Rabbi Tzadok, Anu Ainu Mibnei Sina ben Binyamin. We're descendants of Sina from the tribe of Binyamin. V'chal Sheva Avdiot B'Shabbat, V'dachinu Oto L'motzei Shabbat, V'hainu Mit'anin V'lo Mashlimin. So when we were, it was Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbat, so we pushed it off to Sunday. But the tenth of Av was our special. Tenth of Av was like a special chag for us. It was the day that we were allowed to bring the wood, and so we didn't fast. And that's certainly a very strong statement of the significance of this Yom Tov for them. They didn't fast, and we can see from here that it's indicative that it wasn't. That it really was seen as a korban itself, if it was that significant to have such a yom tov. Omer v'shtei lechem lechem apanim v'chol korban atzibor. Matnita Rabbi Yishmol. Matnita Rabbi Yishmol. Rabbi Yishmol Omer ein Omer ba min Surya. Okay, so the fact that we could use the Machzid Shekel in order to purchase the Omer corresponds with Rabbi Shmuel's Shita, because Rabbi Shmuel believed that the Omer could not come from Syria, and it could only come from Eretz Yisrael, had a particular level of Kedusha, and that's why we were allowed to use the Machzid Shekel for it. Tamam tanina kol korban adiyachid v'atzibur ba'in min ha'aretz min chutz la'aretz min ha'chadash min yashan chutz me'omer shtei lechem she'en ba'in ela min ha'chadash min ha'a'a u'min ha'aretz. V'chun v'shem Rabbi Yirmiya d'Rabbi Yishmol hi d'Rabbi Yishmol omer ein omer ba min Surya. Right, and we can see that this is his shita from that which we taught in a Mishnah, that all the korbanot of individuals and of the public can come from Eretz Yisrael and come from outside Eretz Yisrael. and come from Chadash, and it come from Yasha, new grain or old grain, except for the Korban Omer and the Korban Shtei Alechem. Those things can only come from the Chadash, and it can only come from new grain and from Eretz Yisrael. And we conclude that that is actually the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, as we see elsewhere that that Rabbi Shmuel states that you may only that you may not bring the Korban Omer from Syria. Okay, more Mishnayot that seem to correspond to Rabbi Shmuel. Shida Taman Tanina, and Esther Kedusha Odhei, Eretz Yisrael Mekudesh Mekol Ha'Arzo, and Ma'i Kedusha Tashem Vin Mimena Om Bikurim, Mishdei Alechem, Ma'ashe'en Vin Mekol Ha'Arzo. There are 10 different levels of Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael is more Kedusha than all other lands. And what's the Naf community? It's Kedusha. That you can only bring the Korban, the Shdei Alechem, and the Bikurim, and the Omer from this land, from Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Chia b'shem, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Shmuel he, Rabbi Shmuel Amar, in Omer ba minasuria, ba minasuria. Right, and this is clearly a Mishnah that reflects Rabbi Shmuel Shita, because Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says that the Omer cannot come from Syria. Taman, Tanina, Rabbi Shmuel, Omer, Ma, Charish, Rishut, Af, Katsir, Rishut, Yatza, Katsira, Omer, Shu, Mitzvah, Rabbi Shmuel, Kedate, Rabbi Shmuel, Da Amar, Ena, Omer, Ben, Bam, in Surya, Kedate, Da Amar, Yatza, Katsir, Ha, Omer, Shu, Mitzvah. Okay, so furthermore, we have a Mishnah that equates Charisha and Katsira, right? So plowing with reaping. So, just like the plowing that was prohibited on Shabbat, it's clearly talking about discretionary plowing, because we don't know the case of plowing being a mitzvah. All plowing is discretionary, so when the Torah spoke about plowing, it must have been referring to discretionary plowing, because there's no such thing as mitzvah plowing. But because we can assume that that's discretionary, we can assume that the reaping that the Torah was talking about is also discretionary, right? In which case, if you have a reaping that is a mitzvah, such as reaping the Omer, then that would actually be Dochet Shabbat. And that would be Rabbi Shmuel following, being consistent with his own Shita. It seems that he believes that it's Dochet Shabbat because you have no other option. Meaning, if you could take it from Syria, so take it from Syria. But if you can't take it from Syria, then your only option is to reap the Omer on Shabbat. If you don't have any. And we're probably talking about a Shemitah year where it's in short supply. And so you might want to say, okay, well, you're better than violating Shabbat. Just take some, you know, already reaped grain from... When we say Shabbat here, we mean Shemitah year. Right. So what we're saying is, just like the Charisha, just like Charisha plowing is going to be prohibited during the Shemitah year, and that's talking about discretionary plowing. So through reaping, that's prohibited, it's talking about discretionary reaping. And so if there's a mitzvah to reap, then you would be allowed to. What's the mitzvah to reap? The mitzvah to reap, the Korban HaOmer. Now, of course, if you take it from Syria, then seemingly we wouldn't say that it's doche the Shemitah year to do so. So it must be that it can't be doche, it can't be taken from Syria, and that's Rabbi Shmuel Shita. Man Tana Shomer Shomer Svichim B'Shvi Notlin Tzchar Metrumat Lishka. Who taught that the people who guarded the aftergrowth of Shemitah produce can take his payment from the Truma Talishka. Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Shmuel Shita, Amar Rabbi Yosa, Divrei Hakol. Rabbi Yosa says, everyone would agree with that. Lo Matan Mesurim, Vinata, Mesbich, and Shbe Eretz Yisrael. Right? Because, what if you don't find any in Syria? If you don't find any in Syria, then you have to bring from the aftergrowth of Eretz Yisrael. And so, even though you're allowed to look, according to everyone else, aside from Rabbi Shmuel, you're allowed to look in Syria. You don't find it, still you have to have a solution. Hahein Omer Ma'ushiz Rabbitchila. And are you allowed to, if there are no Svichim, are you allowed to plant the Omer Milachatchila? In Israel, Rabbi Chia Barada, Ba'ikume Rabbi Imana, Lo Nimza Kikomet Al Shiraim, She'enon Ne'echalim. Is this not similar to a komet al shiraim shenon echalim, right? The komet is basically, you know, the handful of flour taken from a korban mincha. The shiraim is the leftover flour of the korban mincha. And if you can't do anything with the flour, you can't do anything with the komets, right? Now, if you're planting, if you're using the korban, if you're planting grains in order to use them for the korban omer, then even if you're allowed to use the kemitza for the korban omer, presumably you can't use the shirayim, in which case you wouldn't be able to use the omer. Because if the shirayim are shemitah, you can't use the shirayim. In which case you can't use the kemitza, because whenever you can't use the shirayim, you can't use the kemitza. In which case you shouldn't be planting it. No, rather we compare it to a case of something that must be brought in a state of tuma, because the korban needs to be brought, but still can't be eaten. So we're allowed to bring it to execute the obligation, even though we can't eat it. And that's what we would do with the komet, even though we can't eat the shirayim. Keitzad hu oseh. Okay, how exactly do you go about paying the shomer and svichim? It's not so simple. You can't just pay them with hekdesh funds. Notel mod min ashulchani, venotel le kotzrin avil shomer. So take money from the shulchani, from the money changers, and then you give the money to the watchman. Ad shelo yikrava omer, before the korban omer is brought. Umvei maot mitrumat halishka machalin alav, and then when you bring the omer, b'mechalel the sanctity of the money that you want to give them onto the omer that you're offering, and the money would no longer be kodesh. V'tavut ken, but can you really do that? Because you run into a certain problem, which is that the value that you're giving to the people does not correspond to the value of the omer that you're of the value of the grain that you want to desecrate the money onto, right? How so? Well, because you know you may pay them a certain amount for watching, let's say, you know, 3 stacks of grain, whatever it is, but after you're going to break it down, you're going to refine it, you're going to have a very little amount of actual flour left. And so presumably presumably we look at what we have in front of us and we say, you know, they watched much more flour than we are using because we have very, very refined flour. In which case, what you're hoping to pay them for is a lot more than what we're bringing right now. In which case, how can we be mechalel all the money we owe them onto the small amount of grain we're actually bringing? Rabbi Acha b'shem, Rabbi Ba, kol ma sheyitnu hein hein damav mishar rishona. No, because we see the end product is basically what we're paying them for. Right? If it's going, you know, if they're watching a certain amount of grain and it's going to end up as a very small refined product, then we're paying them to watch the very small refined product. Tana av pepitche avonim ken. And we see the same thing by the stones that we use for construction in Yerushalayim and Beit HaMikdash. Ketzad hu oseh notel meot mishulchani venotel lechotzvin v'lesatatatin. Right, you take money from the shulchani and then you give that money to the stone cutters. Ad shlotinaten al gabei hadimus. Before the stone is put up in its proper place and assumes hektish status. Mishnatan al hadimus mevi meot mitshumat lishka machalin alea. Right. And then when you put the stones up, you bring money from the Trumat Lishka and you're mechalel the money onto the stones. Then that money would then repay the shulchani that he lost by giving it to the stone cutter, just like we said by the shomer svichim. And could you really do this? You may have this concern that the stones that you're using, you know, some of them are lost, some of them are broken, some of them you get worn down a little bit, and so what you're actually putting up is much less than he was originally working with. But we say, this is what you're paying him for. Okay, halacha bet. More things that can be used to can be purchased by the shekel. Para v'seira mishdaleach v'loshon shel zehorit ba'id mitrumat halishka. So the para aduma and the seir la'azazel, and then the strip of red wool that was used in a couple different offerings, a couple different avodot, those can all come from the trumat halishka. Kevesh para, so the ramp they would need to walk the para aduma up, the kevesh seir mishdaleach, the ramp they would walk the seir la'azazel on the Lashon Shel Ben Karnav, and a strip of wool that is put between its horns, Vamatamaim, a water canal that ran through the Beit HaMikdash, Rechomot Ha'ir, Migdolev, Kol Tzarkei Tzibor, city walls and towers and all the communal needs, Ba'in Mishayarei Halishka. So they come from the remnants, right? Those the parts that remained after we took the shekel and covered the rest with the leather. Amar Shaul, Abba Shaul Omer, Kevesh Para, Kohanim Gedolim, Mosin Mishal Atzman. That the ramp for the Para Duma, actually the Kohanim donated from their own money for that. Motar Shayare Lishka, Mayosin Ban. So what do they do with the excess money in the Trumat Lishka? Lochin Behen, Yeno Shmanin Vislato, Maschar Lehekdish. So they would buy wine, oil, and fine flour, and they would sell it, and then what they would get in return went to Hekdesh. Divir Vishma. Rabbi Kiva Omer Ein Mistakrin Mishal Hekdesh Aflo Mishal Anim. So Rabbi Kiva says, no, you can't, you know, get into business deals with Hekdesh. You can't just sell them off. Even if you need it to support the poor, these are things you can't just, you know, sell and make a profit from and then use the profit for good things. Motar HaTruma Mehayu Osin Ba. So what would they do with the excess, the Truma? Rukwe Zahav. So they would buy gold coverings for the Kodesh Kedoshim. Rav Shmuel Omer Motar HaPeirot Ketz HaMizbeach. So the Motar HaPeirot, right, what came from excess fruits, we'll talk about what exactly that is, went to make sure they're always korbanot on the Mizbeach. Motar Truma L'Klei Sharet, and then the excess from the Truma goes to purchasing new service vessels. Rabbi Akiva Omer Motar Truma Laketa Mizbeach. That the excess for the Truma actually went to the Mizbeach to make sure that there's always something on the Mizbeach. Motar Nesachim L'Klei Sharet. And the excess from the Nesachim, if there was any leftover Nesachim, they were sold off for new service vessels. But you didn't recognize the sale of the Motar Peirot. Rabbi Chananya Sgan HaKohanim Omer Motar Nesachim Keta Mizbeach. The excess for the Nesachim went to the Mizbeach. Motar Truma L'Klei Sharet, and the excess of the Truma went to buy new service vessels. But neither of the final two Shitas agreed that there was a Motar HaPeirot that you could sell. Kevesh Para. Okay, so the ramp of the Para Adum would walk on, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rabbi Yonatan, Shlosh Lashonot Hen, Shel Seir, Besela, Shel Metzor, Beshekel, Shel Para, Beshtei Slam. There are three strips of wool that we see in different avodas. One is by the Seir Mishalech, one is by a Metzora, one is by the Para Aduma. The Seir Mishalech is a Sela in weight, and the Metzora is a Shekel in weight, and the Para is two Sela in weight. Rabbi Chunya Divrat Chavrin, Rabbi Bar Zavda V'Shem Rabbi Shimon Ben Chalafta, Shel Para V'Shtei Shalim U'Mechza. Actually, the Para Aduma one was 2.5 Sela. V'it de Mapkin Lishna Basar Azuz. And some say it was Asara Zuz. Rav Yehuda B'Shem, Rabbi Shmuel, Talmidei Chacham Melamdin, at HaKohanim, Hilchot Shechita, Hilchot Kabbalah, Hilchot Zeriga, Notin Sarim, Trumat Lishka. There was Torah scholars who would teach the Kohanim how to slaughter and how to do the Kabbalah Tadam and how to do the Zeriga Tadam. They would be paid from the Trumat Lishka. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Redifa B'Shem, Rabbi Imi, Mevakre Mume Kodshim, Notin Sarim, Mitrumat Lishka. So those who would check the animals for blemishes, they would also take their schar from the Trumat Lishka. Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Tanchum, Barachia, B'Shem, Rabbi Simloi, Magihe, Sefer HaZara, not Linschar, and Trumat Lishka. Those who would check the Sefer Torah, the Azara, for any mistakes, they would take their money from the Trumat Lishka. Gidel, Bar Binyamin, B'Shem, Rabbi Asi, Shnei, Dayane, Gzelo, not Linschar, and Trumat Lishka. The dayanim who would judge all the monetary cases, they would take their schar from the Trumat Lishka. Shmuel Amar Nashim Ha'orgot Ba Parochet Nodin Schar from the Trumat Lishka. So the woman who would weave the parochet would take their money from the Trumat Lishka. Rabbi Chuna Amar Mitrumat Berakabai, they would actually take it from the Berakabai. My palig, what's exactly behind the machloket with whether they take it from the Trumat Lishka or from the Berakabai? Shmuel Avadlaka Korban. Rav Chuna Avad LaKebinyan. If you treat it like a korban, so you treat it like then you should take it from the lishka. But if you treat it like a part of the structure that's being contributed to here, the building, then it needs to be taken from the berak habayit because that's for the general upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Chizkiya, Tana Rabbi Yehuda Gad Gedut, Haktoret V'Chol Korbanot Sibar Bayim Mitrumat Lishka. The Haktoret and all the public offerings come from the Truma Talishka, Mizbach HaZahav V'chol Klei Sharet Bein Memotar Nezachim. And the golden Mizbeach and all the service vessels come from the excess of the Nesachim, from the excess libations that weren't used that we sell. Mizbach HaOlah V'Eicha V'Azar V'Mishkat Berekapai. Right? And then the upkeep of the chambers in the courtyard, they come from the Berekabait. Chutz Lazarot by Mishar Elishka. Except Chutz Lazarot, anything outside of the Beit HaMikdash for the upkeep of, for different things in Yerushalayim. So anything outside of the Azara comes from the Berekabait. Mo'alin Bahem. The Hatani Avne Yerushalayim Mo'alin Bahem. But didn't we teach that you could do Me'ilah with the Avanim Yerushalayim? In which case, v'chiyesh me'ilah b'shirayim, there's no me'ilah, there's no improper use of hekdesh things that we apply to the shirayim, the leftover machzid shekels. It's not sanctified. In which case, how could it be that that's what we use, that's what we purchase the avanim from, if there's no me'ilah by the shirayim, but there is me'ilah by the avanim for the construction of Yerushalayim? Rabbi Meir, Omer Mo'alim B'Shirayim. We hold by Rabbi Meir Shita. We mentioned this Rabbi Meir Shita already, that there is Me'ilah by the Shirayim. Because if you wanted, you could use the Shirayim for other things if you ran out of the Shkolim. Amar B'chia, Klum Omer Rabbi Meir, Ela B'toch Shanato, V'ha Chutz L'Shanato, Anon Kamim. Right, yeah, Rabbi Meir was talking about within its first year, right, where it's only Shirayim because we already designated it as Shirayim when we finished, when you use some of the Shkolim. Right, but it could technically still be fit, in which case it maintains its sanctity, and so we want to say that it's still fit to be used. But here we're talking about it could be years later. Right? He wouldn't say here that there's me'ilah by it. Amar b'chizya Tana Rabbi Yehuda Gad Gedud Hashulchan v'Hamenorah v'Mizbeach v'Parochet Ma'akvin et Korbanot. So all these things, the table, the Beit HaMikdash, the menorah, the korbanot, and the curtain. If you don't have those, the korban doesn't work. They're all necessary for the korban to work, for the korban to be accepted. Divrei Meir, Shmuel, V'chivim Omrim, Ein Lecha Me'akev Ela Korban, Et HaKorban Ela Karkor V'Keren Bilvad. It says no. The only things that are Me'akev the korban is the karkor and the keren, right? The horns placed on the edges of the mizbeach and the strip around the mizbeach. V'lo kein amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina. So this is, that's not what Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina hold. Trehon amrin, because they both said kol hein dichtiv nochach me'akev. Anything that says nochach, that you need to put this nochach opposite the mizbeah, that means me'akev. Tzela ein me'akev. However, to the side, that's not me'akev. V'amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rabbi Yonatan v'afilu tzela me'akev. Even something you put on the side, even something the Torah tells you to put on the side, that's also me'akev. V'amar Rabbi Elam b'shem Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani afilu sima. Says even if it says afilu sima me'akev, even something that says put it there is me'akev. Amar Rabbi Chanina kan b'vodesh b'fnim kan b'vodesh b'chutz. We can reconcile this machloke by saying that one is talking about what's me'akev in the avoda shebifnim, and one is talking about the avoda shebichutz. The avoda outside the inner chamber of the Beit HaMikdash were more lenient. They only needed the horns and the strip, but the avoda in the inner chamber of the Beit HaMikdash required everything to be in its proper place. We'll stop here.